The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
We're boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us.
Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And the truth is, I am tired.
So the
I'm
truth
very,
hurts
very tired.
In this case.
It hurts, it aches, it feels old. The truth,
well,
is bad.
What's funny about you being tired is that ordinarily at an event like this, you might think like, oh, we went out. There was, you know,
we did.
Drinking,
I mean, we went
involved.
Out. There was, oh, we drank. We drank water.
Water. Water. Lots of
yeah, we had water, right? Diet Pepsi.
These things are a party for a lot of the people.
Yes. Yes.
Not for us.
Not for us.
Even if you do your best to try and get to bed early, by the end of these speeches and by the end of getting home, you're never going to be asleep before 1 or 1:30 in the morning, and that's good.
Yes.
That would be good.
We, of course, are talking about the Democratic National Convention. We are here in Chicago right now. We attended day three yesterday. Today is day four, the big, big finale. And our experience on day three was a little bit different than the last couple days, because the first 2 days we were in the nosebleeds, literally the last row of the United Center, because that is the kind of access that the Good Liars are allowed at the Democratic National Convention. But last night, I don't want to start off just by being like angry and like upset.
Yeah, but don't
and
hold
annoyed.
Back. Say what's on your mind. Don't hold back in general.
I now have a personal problem. I would say issue, maybe feud is the right word, with Cory Booker, Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey, because we were supposed to have an interview with him at what time? 6:30?
5:30.
No, 7:30.
7:30. It's not, we knew the time yesterday.
We knew the time. It wasn't our fault yesterday.
Yeah.
But we waited for an hour and a half before the interview.
More.
More than that. Yeah. More than that. And because of that, we missed out on a free car because we missed out on being in the arena for Oprah. And I didn't see the speech, but I heard she gave everyone a free car. That's what you were saying, right?
Yeah. We heard rumors, and there's been so many new Priuses around the hotel this morning. I think everyone got a new car. So yeah, it's understandable. You're going to miss out on
yes.
New car. You're going to be mad at Cory Booker.
Cory Booker.
You are out there listening, I know we have been gathering a big audience the last few days. We have the Westboro Baptist Church
right.
that might be listening now. Who else?
That's it.
And Cory Booker.
Cory Booker. Wow, great company, yeah. Senator. But we did talk to Senator Cory Booker for a little bit. Turns out we have something in common. He is a big fan of Star Trek. I'm a fan of Star Trek TNG, The Next Generation. I think that's the superior series.
He liked all the worlds, though.
He liked all of them, including the new ones, which I haven't been able to get into, especially Picard. But
boy, did I feel bored
sleepy.
By that.
Yeah.
I know what Star Trek is.
Yeah.
But I don't know about all the worlds.
Yeah, well, that's all right. That's all right. But we want to talk about some of our experience inside, because, you know, a lot of you probably watched it on TV and you're probably wondering, what's it like inside the arena? Not just in the arena. We did spend some time on the floor yesterday, which was exciting to have a little bit of access. But we got there around, 2:30 or 3 yesterday, the earliest we'd ever gotten there. And while we were there, I heard a familiar voice saying, check, 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 on a microphone. And I went inside, and it was Stevie Wonder. And I was seeing Stevie Wonder do a sound check. Oh, yeah. People.
Oh.
I actually only know the Red Hot Chili Peppers cover of that song.
Because
it was on the X Games soundtrack. And that was like came out in
1997. You got to tell him that if you see him. He would love to hear that. It was pretty cool, and we have heard music from when we were not in the arena, and I have not put two and two together sometimes, that it's a real person doing a sound check or whatever, like Lil Jon.
Yeah.
The other day, we were just like, oh, like I thought they were playing music between between the roll call where they call out each state and people cheer and everything. So I sometimes forget that we are in the epicenter of pop culture. And by the way, I don't know if you were with me when I heard this, who I was talking to last night, but they said the Beyonce rumors are real. It's confirmed.
She's going to be here tonight?
She's going to be here tonight. Oh, so you heard it here first.
That's why we're going to like speed through this episode because we got to get the fuck over to the United
Center.
We're not
going to miss the keynote speech and the Beyonce concert. We are just not missing
it. We're getting our seats tonight. Yeah. We have a plan to get seats. We have it. We're not going to tell you what it is right now. We are going to get seats.
We're going to sit in them.
We're going to sit in them. They're going to be in the worst possible place.
Backs against the wall.
Backs against the wall. Literally, backs against the wall. But we want to talk about, so we mentioned the feud that we have now with Cory Booker, which is, you know, it's going to take a lot for that to go away. Oh, did you hear why it happened? They had to vamp. Like somebody was late or something, and he had to go out and like vamp on stage.
Because they told us, security told us that when he started to run late, they said, they've stopped Senator Booker at the door because he didn't have his security clearance. Oh, he's been denied. It didn't sound quite right.
I don't know if that was after the vamping because I did see him on stage earlier. And again, this is us just giving totally unconfirmed stuff that we heard secondhand.
Doesn't matter. Say whatever you want.
Yeah. But we had some, there was some good liars drama. Like a lot of people at the convention, very nice. They are happy to see us, you know? And that it feels great. Feels great. But we have to remember, we are not loved by all.
By everyone.
By everyone.
Most here, but not all.
And last night we were in this on the suite level, not SWEET, but it was kind of sweet.
Pretty sweet.
It was sweet. It was where all of the cable news and I guess broadcast news as well were all have their studios up there. And we were waiting for, I already mentioned, an hour and a half to see Senator Booker. And Fox News personalities kept coming by us. And we've had some run-ins with Fox News in the past. And this one security guard, he had a Fu Manchu.
I kept saying, it's the guy. It's the guy. I was just joking, just because he looked distinct. He was a huge guy with like a real serious like. Yeah,
you were doing it to annoy me, though.
Yes,
I was specifically saying that to you.
I keep going.
And I recognized him, but I didn't know what from before. And you kept saying, "That's the guy. That's the guy right there." And I was like, "I think it is the guy," but I didn't know where he was from. He was a security guard at Fox News. We had a couple
probably
brushes
had
with him
run-ins
in the past.
With him, but it was amazing because the Fox News host Laura Ingraham walked by, and I think Jason said hi Laura or something like that, and
very
you know,
familiar.
Nothing,
hey Laura, good to see you.
Not on camera or anything. We're just like wasting time in this hallway, and sometime maybe after you said that or something, this Fu Manchu guy starts kind of appearing. He's at one end of the hallway. He's at the other end of the hallway. And then at some point, he posts up like 10 feet away from us. And he's kind of just looking at us. And I keep saying, it's the guy. It's the guy. But I really don't know which guy it is. And there's a little bit of tension. Then later, Sean Hannity is coming down the hall. And this guy is his security guard. And he takes perfect care to veer all the way to the left of the hallway and just go through Jason and I saying,
he pushed
sorry,
me.
Sorry,
he pushed
sorry.
Me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like a high school bully.
Yes.
Going down a high school hallway. And of course, we have no idea at this point, but he just goes, sorry, sorry, sorry. He's pushing the camera. He's like kind of throwing little elbows, like making it as uncomfortable as possible. And it was immediately after that we realized, oh,
this was not a mistake that he was staring at us the whole time.
This guy knows who we are. And
there were like five other people. There were five other people waiting to do an interview with Senator Booker as well, or just to get in the studio there. And he kept staring at us the whole time and not the other people and did not care what they
were. But after he pushed through us like that, and I think we have a little bit of that on camera, it was much funnier the actual visual of it. Once that happened, we were like, oh, all the things that came before make sense.
Yes. We got pushed out of a hall. They're like, you can't stand here specifically.
They started moving us around. The Fox hosts kind of like turning away and being rushed past.
Wait, I want to ask you something. So now, like, in the sober light of day now, even though we were completely sober last night, but in the sober light of day, now thinking back on it, we had another strange interaction up there where a guy comes up. We were playing a game the whole day, like, can I see your credentials? Because if you don't have your credentials out, Secret Service will like ask to see them all the time. But we were standing there and a guy asked, like, where are your credentials? You need your passes. And somebody had taken our passes back because we thought we were going into interview right away. But yeah, we waited for an hour and a half. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier.
You did about the waiting.
And this guy was like, we need to see this. You guys have to go if you don't have them.
He's a huge guy and he's got this like booming voice. Like, where's your credentials?
And I was scared for my life a little bit because he was trying to intimidate. That was his goal.
And then our handler person who's like escorting us around on this suite level, not SWEET.
T. Good job.
Pretty sweet. She comes up, she gives us the proper passes, and his demeanor changes completely.
And then he said, I'm a big fan of you guys.
Great work. We're kind of like...
So now my question is, do you think he worked for Fox News, knew who we were, and was being sarcastic, or do you think he actually was a fan of The Good Liars?
Well, I would have a different theory.
Okay, let's hear it.
My theory would be, if it were a security measure, that was his way of confirming like who we were by coming up and asking to see our credentials and seeing our names
and double-checking
that is who we were. We might have that security guard being like, I think it's those guys. And then they go look us up, and then they're like, we need their names. Because I think that this is like pretty high security. I think they have various methods. We got stopped another time.
But who was he? Where was he from?
Stadium.
Should have been like, let me see your credentials.
Now that we're all credentialed up. So it was kind of a credentials battle in that moment there.
I was ready to just be friends with everyone at Fox News. And all this, it gets
but
like
not anymore.
Now we have more wars, you know. Right. We got more beef.
They keep saying they don't want unnecessary wars on the conservative side.
That's true.
A big talking point. Yeah. But they have a war with us now.
Okay.
Unnecessary.
All right. This is sounding very threatening from us right now. Just putting it out there. Sound like I have a frog in my throat. So the other thing that happened while we were missing Oprah was Gavin Newsom was walking around backstage, and I don't want to say he embarrassed himself, but he was like,
well, don't say it then.
He was such a fanboy. He was just like, hey guys, I love you so much. Can I please get a picture? And of course, we're going to get a picture.
How many times did he say please?
At least 45. Yeah. We'd already said yes. We're like, okay, yes, we'll do a picture.
Please, please.
Then he took it and he was like, oh, my eyes were closed. Can we take another one? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, sure, man. It's cool. Relax.
We're not going anywhere.
We're hanging out. But then he stayed and talked with us for like a good 15 minutes.
Maybe.
And like it just got awkward. Like,
he's like, where are you guys? You guys are in New York. I'm in New York sometimes. Like, obviously I have to be in like California, but if you guys are free.
Hi, I'm Darren Marlar, host of the Weird Darkness podcast. I want to talk about the most important tool in my podcast belt. Spreaker is the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to record, host, and distribute your show everywhere, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. But the real game changer for me was Spreaker's monetization. Spreaker offers dynamic ad insertion. That means you can automatically insert ads into your episodes. No editing required. And with Spreaker's programmatic ads, they'll bring the ads to you, and you get paid for every download. This turned my podcasting hobby into a full-time career. Spreaker also has a premium subscription model where your most dedicated listeners can pay for bonus content or early access, adding another revenue stream to what you're already doing. And the best part, Spreaker grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or running a full-blown podcast network, Spreaker's powerful tools scale effortlessly as your show grows. So if you're ready to podcast like a pro and get paid while doing it, check out Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com.
I'll make time to be there.
Right, right. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a little bit. So now we got beef with Gavin Newsom, basically. Yeah. No, that's not true. Gavin Newsom's talked to us for 1 second, and somebody took a picture.
Yeah.
And
he was pretty slick.
He was very slick. His hair was very slick. He's got charisma,
got
though.
In a beehive, and then just
what? I don't get it. What does that mean, beehive? Oh, honey.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just had a whole.
Because when you say beehive, I was thinking like bee stings or something. Because that's what would happen.
No,
if you
sometimes I think that his slicked back hair is from another era. I don't know.
I used to do that when I was like in like fourth grade.
Another era.
I would slick back. Yeah. What is that? That's like what, over 10 years ago.
That's got to be over 6 years ago.
Yeah. So we had a nice interaction with Gavin Newsom, and he came back around and then said another thing to us. I think one of his staff said they were actually liked us. He had no idea who we were,
right.
I think. So that was our fun in the suite level. It was pretty sweet. And then we get out, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but we had to wait for an hour and a half.
The
suite level. Well,
how do you spell that again?
S-W-E-E-T.
Got it.
Yes. And we then, Oprah's in the middle of her speech, giving out free cars. And
you can print that.
You can print that. And now the arena is full, and we are not able to get in.
Right, because we waited for an hour and a half.
Yes, yes.
To talk with Senator Cory Booker. Now, I do want to say he was very nice. And
yes,
and easy to talk to, which almost masks the complete disregard for our time.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. The other person we talked to is the governor of our great state, New York,
Kathy Hochul. Yeah,
which is a name that I would read for a very long time and was never reading it correctly.
Until what were you saying, Hochul?
I don't know. Yeah. It's something else. I would say, I would just look at it and be like, that's that word. I don't know how to say it.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
That's that word. And you never makes the leap from page to the
And
page.
I never make the effort to try and sound it out or anything.
Don't
like
tell
that.
Kathy that. She's our friend now.
She's our friend. If you could describe her in one word, what would it be?
Oof. I wish I could be more specific, but she was a little odd. She was a little bit strange. Like we were trying to kind of get a feel for how she might interact, and I think her third word out of her mouth was "God damn" or something like that.
Yeah,
and we're like,
did you just fucking curse? Was I think what we said? But she cursed, and we were very, very offended.
And she
kind of
was like very quiet too. It's like I found myself leaning in really close because you know it's kind of a loud room, but also just she's small and she was like very, very quiet.
Yeah,
and just a little offbeat in a way that I did not quite expect. That in person she would seem so quirky.
Yes, quirky is a great word. Yeah, that might be my go-to word. It was a very interesting conversation. I think she was given word like we're comedians or something like that, and she was trying to be funny, which maybe just made it more awkward or strange.
Yeah. I should say I liked her. I mean, I liked her.
That's fine.
I mean, yeah.
We live in New York. We shouldn't be bad mouthing the governor.
Right.
There could be real consequences. I do think it's like, we asked her about the congestion pricing, why she changed her mind at the 11th hour. And she told us to fuck off.
Yeah.
No, we did not ask her about that. We did not ask her about that. We had a couple. I mean, we talked about cursing for a very long time.
We were cursing a lot. We talked about cursing. She didn't really back off.
Yeah.
She said, I think she said goddamn like two more times.
No. It's just like heavens to Betsy.
Yeah.
Oh, my stars. That's a terrible thing to fucking say, to curse like that.
Who made the flag with the original stars on it? Was it Betsy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does that have to do with anything?
You said, oh, my stars, heavens to Betsy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a great point, Daron. And then also we talked to my home state. I have a couple that I can say. I can say Florida, but I can also say Kentucky because I was born in Louisville, Kentucky.
You're kind of a bullshitter. You could say a lot of stuff and make it sound like...
My home state... Where is it? What's a word for where I was born?
where your heart is, where your soul is.
My heart is in Kentucky. Remember we visited Louisville, and I really enjoyed being back there. Immediately when I got there, I was like, I could live here
the
right
governor
now.
Of Kentucky.
Andy Beshear. Yeah. Talk to Andy Beshear. And also, is it a governor thing? A little bit of a weird energy with him as well.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing there. If there's a certain amphetamine that all the governors take.
Wait, as we talk to the Trump supporters, it's adrenochrome.
Right.
Holy shit. Now goodness. It all makes sense. Oh, my God.
It's nice to sort this out with all of you here, parse yeah. through this, and it seems like we just figured it out. But he had a little bit of a shifty energy to him. I also liked him. In case we go to Kentucky.
In case we go to Kentucky. You're really burning bridges.
But we asked him some tough questions, I think. Tough questions about Kamala Harris's chances.
Oh, yeah.
Her endorsements that she's failing to get.
That's right. Yeah.
People
who are the people?
As Kid Rock.
Oh, Hulk Hogan is going for Trump, too.
Scott Baio.
That's the big one. That's the one that.
Because someone at the top of their career who's commanding kind of the feelings of millions of people, you know?
Yeah.
Someone like Scott Baio, you're going to need that endorsement. And these people, we've asked a few people that they seem to think it's not crucial.
Yeah, which is odd.
Which is dumb.
Which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Andy Beshear, Governor Beshear, he not only said the Scott Baio endorsement didn't matter, he was after Scott.
Yeah, I think he said something about... I think by the end of this little back and forth, he had called Scott Baio an F-list celebrity, which is a pretty sick burn.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
Mean. Yeah. So that was so fun to talk to him too. I'm so fucking tired right now. But I will say that there's maybe something going on with governors. This is because we talked to two.
Right.
And I guess we're going to talk to another today. And we're also starting a lot of shit right now. We started shit with Cory Booker. We're kind of creating a feud between Scott Baio and Andy Beshear right now.
We called Governor Hochul odd and quirky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to.
I thought
in
she
here,
was
you're
funny
get
too.
The truth.
Yeah.
Right?
It's the truth. So tonight. What are you looking forward to tonight besides maybe sleeping a little bit?
Oh, man. I am looking forward to that Beyonce concert.
Have you been
that
serious
I've been
right
promised.
Now?
Last night, someone, I forget who it was, took me aside and said, that's happening.
I think
it was that person who had tried to connect us with the comedy show for Congress.
Oh, okay.
I think.
But why did they know? Whatever. I don't want to give any misinformation here. It's called The Good Liars Tell the Truth. You're telling the truth that you heard
I
this.
I was told.
Yes.
So I'm certainly looking forward to the 100% certainty that Beyonce will be performing tonight.
Nice. Okay.
And I'm sure the Kamala speech is going to be incredible. Just the energy of the other big speakers, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Michelle Obama or Barack Obama.
The pops.
The Tim Walz pop. This is going to be what the whole week has been building to, so we got to get seats.
Yes. You mentioned Tim Walz. We should talk about this because we weren't in the arena, and we ended up eating dinner during his speech. I watched some of it this morning. He gave a football coach pep talk.
People were talking that it was like a pep rally.
Yeah.
And we were watching it during dinner on a screen in a bar near the arena because just for the record, it is impossible to get out of the arena. So we had to make a choice.
Yes.
So we were watching it and I was saying it's the perfect training to be a politician, to be a football coach. The halftime speech is a rally speech.
Let me finish with this team. It's the fourth quarter. We're down a field goal, but we're on offense and we've got the ball. We're driving down the field. And boy, do we have the right team. Our job for everyone watching is to get in the trenches and do the blocking and tackling. We got 76 days That's nothing. There'll be time to sleep when you're dead. We're going to leave it on the field.
Yeah, I was thinking about my football coach. I didn't play football, believe it or not. I played flag football.
Yeah, well, okay, so.
But he also was my finite math teacher. And he would be like, honey bunny, let's go.
Whoa.
And it's a little bit, he kind of looks like Tim Walz a little bit.
He would say what?
Honey bunny.
Why would he say that?
He would say
in
that
flag
to the
football
to the women.
Or in finite math?
It actually sounds a little sexist now.
Okay.
Couldn't call people honey
Wait,
bunnies.
Way more than sexist. It sounds like
he was a good man. I'm not gonna.
No. I think he's a good man. Not more
you
than
don't
sexist.
Know?
Not saying worse than sexist, but saying he's also doing some sort of like pro wrestling character.
Yeah, kind of. That's what football players, the football coaches do. Anyway, so he did. It was a pep rally. Watched it. The crowd was going crazy. His family were. The star of
iconic images now already of his son and daughter shedding tears.
Yeah.
And his wife, they're looking like an amazing supportive family. And it's kind of like just what you would want it's your guy. You picked this guy to appeal to the middle of America and to let them know that you're normal and the other party is weird.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it looked very wholesome images and just tons of excitement,
and it was a nice speech. People were very excited about it. The people we talked to afterwards were like, "It was amazing to be in there. It was amazing." So tonight's the night, the big finale, the big question on everyone's mind: will Kamala Harris accept the Democrats' nomination?
95%, I think she will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always that 5%
chance. 5%
chance.
She just says thanks, but
we
no
were saying
thanks.
Last night it would be funny if somebody gets up there, gives a whole speech, and then is like, and I want to tell you, I just don't think this is for me, guys.
I'm
sorry.
Now.
I do not accept the
thing
nomination.
Going on, a feud with my neighbor. It's like a property line thing. My plate is full.
All right, well, we'll see what other feuds we can get in today, what other bridges we can burn with other states. But that's it right now for the Good Liars Tell the Truth. Before we go, Rom, I want to remind everyone you can support us on HeroHero, herohero.co/thegoodliars for just $5 a month. You'll be supporting us getting bonus episodes. And before we go, Devram, I have to know, do you have any words of wisdom?
If you're ever in Chicago, deep dish pizza takes a while to cook.
Okay.
So last night we wanted to go to a deep dish place. 45 minutes, they said. We couldn't do that, so we had to order something else that wasn't nearly as good. Give yourself that little bit of extra time. Give yourself that little bit of grace.
I thought you were going to say, because we had three meals together yesterday. Or in the last 24 hours, including breakfast today. And three for three, Devram ordered the exact same thing that I did. And we have different tastes, so I was surprised that you did that. And you were disappointed two of three. And
two
I was like,
three
they were
bad. Yeah, very bad.
Anyway.
That's another piece of advice for another day. But, you know,
don't trust Jason Tully. All right, everybody, we'll see you next time on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. Bye.